May God use this lesson, this time in the Word, to speak a word into your life that will help, that will bless, that will inspire and strengthen you during these difficult times. Welcome to those who are honored guests. You're really more than a guest, and we're grateful that you're here. And whether you are a part of the body of Christ or not, we are still here for you. And we welcome you to our study time together. I read something I thought was pretty interesting, and I'd like to use it to put it on your mind concerning our text and our theme or subject. I'd like to use for a subject today, our faith on trial. Our faith, that's your faith and mine, on trial. Your world is dark, safe, and secure. You do nothing for yourself, and you are automatically fed and waited upon. You meet no sharp objects, no pain, and no threats. It's a wonderful existence. One day, you feel a tug, and the walls are falling in on you. Your body is bent double, your limbs twisted and wrenched. You're falling upside down. For the first time in your life, you are feeling excruciating pain. There is a pressure that's almost too intense to bear. Your head is squeezed flat. You're pushed harder and harder into a dark tunnel. You're hurting all over. You hear some groaning sounds, and an awful fear rushes in on you. Your world is collapsing. You're sure it's the end. You see a piercing, blinding light. Cold, rough hands pull at you. Then a painful slap bombards you. And all of a sudden, you let out a blood-curdling cry. Congratulations, you've just been born. And this story I read to you to help you to appreciate, to help us all to appreciate that the fact of the matter is that even our birth, I said even our birth, is filled with trials. Someone has said you come through a trial coming into this world. Your mother went through a trial bringing you into this world, and your father went through a trial paying for it all. From the time you and I were born, until the time we die, we're walking and living in a world where the highways are infested with potholes of troubles, trials, and tribulation. And so, in order to cope with these times, and especially coronavirus times, we must learn to look at the way or the method or the manifestation of trials, how they present themselves. The text reminds us that trials are unavoidable. It's not a matter of if trials will come. The text says when we fall into diverse temptations. There is a sense of certainty, for sure, 100%, you and I are going to run into trials. It's very true. There are only three kinds of people in this world. Either you're coming out of a trial, you're heading into a trial, or we are in one right now. Right now, right now. The Apostle Peter would say, think it not strange concerning the trials that you and I have to deal with. We act like we say it's something new, but it's just new in time. Trials, our lives, life is riddled with trials. Job feared God, upright man, lost everything. Daniel was a devoted, totally committed to God. And his devotion to God earned him a free trip to a lion's den. Joseph, unquestioned loyalty and integrity, went to jail for a crime he did not commit, and even without a trial. Trials are going to come, and they're going to come suddenly. You're walking down the street one day, and out of the clear, out, apparently out of nowhere, without warning, coronavirus. The Samaritan was on his way up to Jerusalem, and on his way there, the Bible says he fell among thieves. James says, consider it a great joy, my brothers, whenever you fall into diverse temptations. They're unavoidable. Number two, they're unpredictable, right? They say that we got the little research I did on this word. It means polka dotted or multicolored. They come in all shapes, in all sizes, in all colors, in all situations. Diverse temptations. Diverse temptations. Brother and sister, you may suddenly take ill with a physical disease. Sometimes our funds are low. Sometimes emotionally, and for no apparent reason sometimes, we are emotionally depressed. Sometimes we are spiritually discouraged, relationally dysfunctional, family conflict, and on and on and on. Think it not strange when you fall into diverse temptations. They're unavoidable, they're unpredictable, and let me steal a word. Let's steal a word from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. Peter says, you rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable, is refined by fire, may result in the praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What am I saying? I'm saying that not only are trials unavoidable and unpredictable, they are unenjoyable. Amen to glory. The word temptations, the word trials, actually come from our English word. We get our English word pirate from it. Like pirates ambush unsuspecting vessels at sea, trials come suddenly, unexpectedly. God is not tempting us. God is testing us.
Yes,
sir. Amen.
Amen.
The devil wants to use trials to cause you and I to fall. But God tests us so that we can stand. So when fiery trials come, you got to understand It's just sometimes God turning up the heat. The manifestation of trials, we need to learn the inevitable, unavoidable, the unpredictable, and the unenjoyable. But now, as we consider the method of trials, let's move into pondering the meaning of trials. Listen, listen. The God who is sovereign, who rules all things, always has a point or a purpose for every trial. Trials are testing your faith and mine. It's the testing or the trying of our faith that produces patience. So the meaning, the purpose of trials, God's purpose in our trials, God's purpose in coronavirus is to measure our faith. The word trial, two ideas. One is to prove whether or not something is real.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you got any faith at all, I need to remind you, it's going to be tested. It's the idea of proving whether or not a thing is ready to perform the function for which it is made. But not only that, Peter says, refined by fire, 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. It's the idea of refining gold, where it's put in a receptacle and heated up by fire, so as to draw off the impurities, to draw off the dross, to draw off the stuff, so that what's left is pure or real gold. You never know what you believe until you face a test. Trials test the toughness of our faith. Some of us are still in school. Some of us are perhaps finished with school for a minute. But it's like tests in school. I used to like tests, and then I started not liking them. They test the weakness or the strength
yes.
of your knowledge.
Yes.
That's what tests are for. Well, it's the same with faith. Tests, trials, test the strength or the weakness of our faith. You know, it's possible for you and I to come to attend worship service, to attend Bible class, to give sacrificially,
yes.
to sing praise unto God, and et cetera, and et cetera. But that does not mean that our faith is strong. It takes trial to tell the real story. Faith not only stands the test of time, it stands the test of troubles too. I read of a young man who attended his home congregation, and trials came, ambushed his life. And one day as he was walking home, he ran into the preacher, and he was telling the preacher about all of the trials, all of the drama he has been through. And he said to the preacher, "Man, it made me lose my religion. The trials came on so strong and were so many that," he said, the trials, the storms made him lose his religion. And the pastor responded, "It should not have made you lose your religion. It should have made you use your religion." Proverbs writer says in Proverbs 24:10, "If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small." If your and my faith fails, bottoms out, when we are in trouble, our faith is weak. You and I may not know the why of trials all the time, except that God either allowed it or he arranged it. You and I may not know where trials are. We may not know when they're going to appear, but we do know what they are. Every trial is a test. And the two test questions are, test question number one, do you trust God or not? Do you trust God or not? Test question number two, how much? In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible. We just cannot please God. Suggesting the stronger our faith, the greater the pleasure we bring God. How many of us are planning to make God happy? Put a smile on God's face as we travail through coronavirus. I heard a preacher say, a Christian is like a tea bag, not worth very much until he or she is put in hot water. Trials measure faith, but not only do they measure faith, they mature our faith. Look at the text again. Because we know that the testing of your faith produces patience, produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Some persons say to perfect. To perfect means to mature, to complete, to make fully grown. What we're talking about here, church, is spiritual maturity. An 8-year-old boy had a deformed foot. Badly deformed, was taken to the doctor. The doctor performed surgery twice to try and straighten out his foot. Both surgeries failed. And the doctor's last word was, there's nothing that can be done to straighten out the 8-year-old old boy's foot. Well, the parents went and got a second opinion. This doctor operated, and after surgery, put the boy's foot in a real strange looking box. The box had adjustable screws that pressed against the box. And every day, the screws were being tightened. Every day for a period of months. The pain was so unbearable, the little boy would cry and scream. And as the father would tighten the screws, his tears would mingle with his son's tears until finally the box was removed. And for the first time, the boy stood up with a straight foot. Preacher, what's your point? Oftentimes in my life and yours, it seems like God is tightening the screws tighter and tighter, sometimes bringing pain and agony, sometimes suffering for no apparent reason. Where did coronavirus come from, church? God is not trying to hurt us. God is trying to help us. He's not trying to make us bitter. He's making us better. He's straightening out our feet so that we can become mature and our faith begins and continues to grow. So we got to watch the method of trials. Unavoidable, unpredictable, unenjoyable. We need to consider carefully, right? Very carefully, God's purpose. What do trials mean? Stop and think, beloved. Stop and think. What's going on? What are the lessons that God wants me to learn? And for Christ's sake, God, help me that I be faithful during my time of trials, because trials measure faith and they mature faith. But now, watch When we ponder and consider the method of trials and the meaning of trials, now we can appreciate the ministry of trials. Trials, when we exercise our faith, sets off a chain reaction. Patience is produced. Character is developed of a nuclear dimension. The trying of your faith worketh endurance. Compound word. It means to bear up or to stand under. Staying power. Yeah. You may not understand the trials, but we can stand under trials. Somebody said, when the going gets tough, tough gets going. You heard the story of the pearl and the oyster? The shell of a oyster just cracked for a minute and let a grain of sand in and immediately begins to release healing fluids that heals the wound and becomes a pearl. A pearl is a healed wound. Endurance says, we will not ever quit, no matter how tough it gets. The virus can get as tough as it was, and it's tough, and it's getting tougher. But will we ever quit? The growth and the development of our staying power. Watch what happens. He says, I better close. Let's talk about joyful anticipation. I love this. I'm about to get my glad attack. James says, count it all joy. Say what, James? What? When you fall into diverse temptations, I'm finding myself in trouble. I didn't see it coming. I was just going to the store to buy some chicken wings, and I get hit by a car. James says, count it all joy. Man, that threw me for a loop for a minute. You got to look at what the word count means. And in a sense, I used to preach that it was an accounting word. But it really means to look ahead. It means to look ahead, to look forward. You see, what James is saying is there's joy in trials when we look ahead at the end result of our trial. When trials come, God is up to something. We can count it all joy because we know that when it's all said and done, when the dust settles, when it's all said and done, whatever God is doing with us, and whatever God is doing in us, and whatever God is doing through us, and whatever God is doing for us, it's gonna be worth it. Look at 1 Peter again. You rejoice in this, verse 6, chapter 1. Even though for a short time, did you see that? Listen, one day, I don't know when. And you know why he says short? Because compared to eternity, it's just a drop in a bucket. This coronavirus is going to be history. One day. He says, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire, watch this, may result in praise. And see, God is waiting. When we get to the end of life's journey, God is waiting at the finish line. God is waiting at the finish line to say, well done, Lord. Amen.
Yes, indeed.
Well done, kinfolk.
Yes, indeed. Woo. I feel
good. I feel and faithful, and good and faithful servant. God is with us. You and I choose how we're going to respond to trials. And when we pass the test, we will have the opportunity to hear our God himself in person say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on over here and enter the joy of the Lord that has been prepared. It's been prepared for you. Right now, people are dying. Don't just look and get stuck in your now. Look ahead as what God is waiting to give you and count it all joy. Peter says, rejoice. Lopez translation, get a glad attack. Not that people are dying, but what's waiting for you. Now, when you appreciate the anticipation, the joyful anticipation, that will happen through willingly participating. He says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. James is calling you and I, in the midst of our crises, to willingly cooperate and participate in what God is doing in, with, through, and for us. No one, not one of us, would really want to admit that we enjoy trials. Amen.
Amen.
But we need to embrace them as a part of God's work to conform, to shape, and to mold us into the image of his dear son. Don't hesitate. Cooperate. Don't agitate. Don't get agitated. Participate. And just let God have his way, so he can do his work in us. God is a master craftsman. You and I are the raw materials. The trials are the tools that the master craftsman uses, making us to become more like his son. The finished product is maturity, integrity. Let's not resent trials. Let's receive them instead. Because when we consider the method, when we ponder the meaning, it's only then that we can appreciate the ministry. Joyful anticipation through willingly cooperating. So even though we want to pout, we can shout. And here's why. When we respond by faith, God gets pleasure. Through faith, God gives us treasure. It ain't over yet. But let's remember, church, what's at the end of the way. Let's see, let's appreciate the trials that we face are not meant to take the strength out of us, but to put strength into us. And when we pass the test, God is waiting to see, well done. May your hearts be encouraged. May God himself, by his Holy Spirit, send a strengthening blessing. Send a inspire blessing. Even a healing blessing that will cause you and I not to fall underneath this viral crisis, but to stand up underneath it and to help others to do the same. If you're here today and you're listening online and you're not yet a member of the body of Christ, listen, the church did not get here by accident. The church cost God his son. And the church cost his son his life. When you obey the gospel of Christ, God himself adds you to his church. And when that happens, the truth is, you kind of have an unfair advantage. Let me show you. 1 Peter 1. Begin reading at verse 3. Watch this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth.
Into a living hope.
You know why you have an unfair advantage? Because when you're in Christ, when you experience the new birth, you have a living, a lively hope. Because you know what's waiting for you at the end of your life of trials. How do you do that?
Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Through the resurrection of if Christ got up from the dead,
one day, in Christ,
you're going to get up.
And into an inheritance.
And into an inheritance.
That can never perish.
It ain't, man, it's going to be brand spanking new as it was thousands of years ago.
Never spoil.
Never spoil.
Never fade.
Never fade.
This inheritance is kept in heaven.
It's kept, it's guarded.
In heaven.
In heaven.
For you.
Can't nobody get to it. It's yours. Get your name on it. Really?
Who through faith? Are shielded by God's power.
Kept. One person said kept.
By God's power.
Kept guarded. Guarded by God, by the power of God. Read.
Until the coming of the salvation. That is ready to be revealed in the last time.
In the last time. Read some more. Read a little bit more.
In all this you greatly rejoice.
In all this you greatly rejoice.
Though now for a little while. You may have had to suffer.
So you're going to go through something.
Grief and all kinds of trials.
You're going to grieve. But don't forget what trials mean. So you can have a strong appreciation for the ministry of trials. Look, all I'm trying to say, you can finish reading that. All I'm trying to say is this. Now, today, is the best time to say yes to Jesus. If you're here, we're pleading with you. Put a number up on the screen, kinfolk. Give them my number. Give the person your number. Let's hear from you so that you can hear the gospel and obey it. Believe it. Be willing to repent of how you used to live. Confess Christ to be the Son of God and be baptized in water, and the Lord will add you to his church.
Amen.
And from that moment, God gives you his spirit to dwell within you, and you have an unfair advantage. Say yes to God. Church, do not allow coronavirus to cause you to fall. Let's stand up underneath it. Let's cooperate with it. Because we know what's at the end of trials room. And knowing that is reason to rejoice. Our praise leader is going to sing a song that's designed to invite you to respond. Even rocks respond to the voice of God. Do the right thing and respond to the voice of God as we sing this song of invitation.
Without one plea, perfect thy blood.
shed for me.
And there thou did me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Amen.